The sermon that I'm going to give today is Our Pilgrimage to Heaven. Our Pilgrimage to Heaven. In the book of Revelation, chapter 21, starting from verse 3, it says, And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. My beloved brothers and sisters, what can you compare to heaven? Or where can you compare to heaven? All the glories of this earth is just trash when you compare to heaven. We go to heaven because of a spiritual birth. This is the enjoyment of the spiritual birth. Jesus said, Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That kingdom being an inheritance. Without a spiritual birth, no man can enter heaven. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 says, As it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Our eye cannot see the things what God had prepared for us. Our ears cannot see what God has prepared for us. Our hearts cannot comprehend what God has prepared for us. God has revealed all these things to us by His Spirit. So when we have a spiritual birth, a heavenly birth, is a spiritual birth, not the birth that we had on this earth, but a heavenly birth by the power of the Holy Spirit, then we will be thinking on heavenly things. Then we will be reading of the heavenly book. We would love the Lord God for what He has done and what He is going to do. So, my beloved, let us see that our time on this earth is only a pilgrimage. Our final goal is heaven. Our desire is to be with God for eternity. We pray daily. How do we start praying? Our Father who art in heaven. Yes, we say our Father. And we say this all the time in our prayers. Our Father. Yes, if you pray to our Father who art in heaven, don't you love to be with your Father in heaven? We pray all the time in Jesus' name. Don't you love to be with Jesus? You have been praying all this time, and we have been confessing our sins to the Lord Jesus. Don't you love to be with Him? In Genesis chapter 47, there is this incident, verse 8. Pharaoh, when Joseph was in Egypt, of course we saw how Joseph's father, Jacob, and his brothers came to Egypt. And Pharaoh said to Jacob, who is very old, Genesis 47:8, Pharaoh asked Jacob, "How old are you?" And Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. He's saying, right now I'm 130 years old. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage." First thing we notice is that Jacob, he calls his life a pilgrimage. He said he's a pilgrim on this earth. And looking upon himself, he saw that he is a stranger in this world. A pilgrim is a traveler. He is a pilgrim because he is not of this world, but he is traveling to another city. And that city is the city in heaven, heavenly city. This earth for the pilgrim is just temporary. It's not his home. So they confess that they are strangers and pilgrims. Now, how old is Jacob at this time? It's 130 years. But he said they seem to him just a few days. He said, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few." That means if you have lived 130 years, you might say, "Wow, that's a long time." But that's not how Jacob saw. He saw 130 years compared to eternity is very few years. And also the days on this earth was what? Evil. What can you give when you compare to heaven? When you compare to heaven, this earth is evil when we compare to the great paradise of heaven. Earth is not our home. God never designed earth to be our home. Our life on this earth is only a shadow, just a dream. We are here today and gone tomorrow. And you can see how fast even our little kids, they grow, and how fast we become old. And we had children, and they grow big. And how fast the years go by. And we are here on this earth for a very short time. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 says, I'm going to go through these scriptures very fast, so you can write it down. Hebrews 11, 13 says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to call their God, for he had prepared for them a city." It's talking about the Old Testament saints. They were pilgrims and strangers. And it says they went through very difficult, hard, severe times as pilgrims and strangers. And it says there, now if they wanted to, they could have returned back to their own homes, own places. Abraham could have returned back, but he didn't. He considered himself as a pilgrim. Because they saw that God had prepared them a better city. heavenly city. And they had their focus on their mind. They had it focused on their mind, and no matter what came in front of them, they went forth. It says they were strangers and pilgrims. They were strangers because they were saints on this earth. They were not earthly people. They did not conform to the earthly people. They did not conform to the world. So they became strangers to the people of the world. Their home was in heaven, not on earth. So they were strangers. Also it says they were pilgrims. Pilgrims are always traveling. Our life, there is a beginning and an end. And the end is at the grave. The exit of the grave for the Christian is to be with the Lord in heaven. So, as pilgrims, we are always, as Christians, we got to take the narrow road. So, they did not focus the things of this world, or they did not love the things of this world, but their mind had everything focused of heaven. And they bore all kinds of difficulties, trials, temptations, hardships, but they were longing to go home. They were excited to go home. They were desiring to go home. Home is heaven. That's their country. That's their citizenship. So, in Philippians chapter 3 verse 18, Apostle Paul said, "For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory is their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we wait Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Apostle Paul is talking with tears that there are so many people who are giving false teachings and so forth like that. But he's talking that our minds, their minds are set on earthly things, but our minds, our citizenship is in heaven. Although you are a citizenship, earthly citizenship on this country, but your real citizenship when you die is going to be in heaven. Our desire is not to make this world our heaven. Our hope, as Christians, we live in this world as pilgrims, just passing by. Because our true home is in heaven. We are to seek the things of God rather than the things of these earthly pleasures. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, "Seek first the kingdom of God." Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God. So although we have a relationship with our loved ones here on earth, you know, we love them. Yet, one day, they are going to leave us. And we are going to leave them. We should love them, and care for them when we are on this earth. But we had to realize that one day we have to leave them. And we had to also realize that we need to love God more than our loved ones. Just like Abraham loved his own son Isaac. But when God told Abraham to go and sacrifice your son, well, Abraham was obedient to that call because he loved God more than his son. In the same way, we need to be obedient to God and love Him more than anybody on this earth. As we are pilgrims, we are traveling. We may pass some beautiful, you know, the Lord might bring in our life journey on this earth, some beautiful, enjoyable places sometimes. But we are not going to make our home there just because we saw it as we are passing by and say, wow, I like this, I want to make my home here now. No, we are pilgrims, we are passing by. Just like the traveler in his mind, he is the traveler. If you are traveling as a pilgrim, your mind is focused at the end. We got an end. That's where our mind is focused, at the end. In the same way, as pilgrims, we got to focus our end, that is heaven. That's where we stop. So we should desire heaven more than any enjoyments and pleasures of this world that will offer you. We should set our hearts not below, but above. Because God is in heaven. He is above. And that's where our hearts should be set. Colossians, you can write it down. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Colossians 3, 2, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Now, remember, the way to heaven is not an easy way. The way to heaven is always going up. That means ascending. Ascending or going up is not going to be easy. So we as pilgrims have to take that narrow road. That narrow road is difficult and a lot of hardships on the way. But the way to hell is broad and easy. It's descending. It's going down. It's very easy to go down, but very difficult to go up. Many are going to take the easy and the broad road because that's very easy to take. And that's many are going to go take the broad road with worldly entertainments. That your favorite TV shows are not going to be in heaven. It's only earthly, and your passions are there, and you cannot go with your passions, those earthly passions. Your material hunger, your fleshly appetites, they all will take you to hell, which is the easy road. But my beloved, ascending the narrow road towards heaven is tough and difficult. It's agonizing daily. So we need to crucify our flesh to these earthly desires daily. And this is the way of holiness. Self-denial and obedience to God. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in it by, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. There are few who finds it. So, beloved, it is going to be hard to take this narrow gate, only by the grace of God. You know, God is sovereign. God saves us in different ways. Sometimes God saves people who have lived an evil life for their entire life. But in their last moment, if they truly repent, God can save them. Yes, the thief on the cross. He didn't have to go to church, didn't have a Bible, didn't have any word of God to read. He didn't have to get baptized. He said, remember, Lord, when you come, Jesus said, today you shall be in paradise. That's all he trusted. But God doesn't save all the time that way. God is sovereign. But sometimes, you know, people live as if, you know, very boldly, fearlessly before God. And you don't have to get old and sick to die. But a lot of young people can die too. Anytime we can get into an accident. So it is going to be hard by the grace, only by the grace of God we can take this narrow road. Because Jesus Christ had conquered sin, he rose from the dead, and he paved the way for us to follow. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews 12, 1 talks about this pilgrimage again. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, that means the saints who have died before, they are witnesses. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Just see here. Sin wants to cling so close to our hearts. So that sin will try to take us away from this pilgrim road. Then it says here, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So this journey is a race. All the way, the end is the grave. For the Christian, the grave is the exit to heaven. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God, the throne of God. My beloved brothers and sisters, we can do it only by looking to Jesus Christ. See the word looking unto Jesus? You need to underline that, because our English word cannot fully express the meaning when it says looking unto Jesus. But in Greek, there are two expressions. When it says looking unto Jesus, in Greek, there are two expressions. One is turning your eye off from all the other objects. Second is to fix your eyes on another object. So one is to turn off your eye from all the other objects, then fix your eyes on a different object. So basically, what he's saying is that the apostle is saying to turn off our eyes from the things of this world that is tempting you, but fix your eyes on Jesus alone. So when you're going in this pilgrim, traveling as a pilgrim, you're going to be tempted in all different ways, just like the Pilgrim's Progress. The Christian was tempted in different ways. He came many hardships, but when he took his eyes away from the Word of God, he got into trouble. Just imagine Peter. Remember, there was Peter saw Jesus walking on water. Remember that? And Peter said, Lord, let me walk too. Right? And he got into the water. And what happened to Peter? And he looked around the waves and he began to drown. But Jesus said, look to him. As long as Peter was able to focus his eyes on Jesus, he was able to walk on water. That's what it means. We need to fix our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ then we can walk on water. In a sense, we can take that narrow road, whatever that comes our way. But we need to fix our eyes on Jesus and take our eyes away from the worldly things that is tempting you. Then we can lay aside every weight of sin which tries to cling so closely to our heart. We can get rid of them by shrugging them off and fixing our eyes on the Lord Jesus alone. Now, as Jesus is in heaven, our thoughts should be heavenly. If we love Jesus more than anybody else, then our thoughts should be of Jesus Christ. If you love somebody, and that somebody goes away to a different country, man, will you not be thinking of that person? Will you be just waiting and waiting until that person comes? Yes, the Lord is coming back. He is in heaven. He paid the price for your life. And He gave eternal life for you. He left His love story for you. And He is coming back. Aren't you thinking of Him? If you are thinking of Him, then you are going to be there. When things get rough and tough in our lifetime, we don't want to go back and murmur like the children of Israel in the wilderness. But to have faith in God, as Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:17. You can write it down. 2 Corinthians 4:17, Apostle Paul said, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. So as pilgrims, as we are going through this road, when we troubles, difficulties comes, the afflictions that come compared to heaven is very light, extremely light. Apostle Paul was a person who was torn, shipwrecked, went through hunger. Whoa, that was a lot of afflictions. But still he said it was just light afflictions when you compare to heaven. So when you go through trials and hardships and difficulties, which you are not going through what Apostle Paul went through, how much lighter is that going to be compared to heaven? So we need to have a goal. You know, a lot of people have goals in life. Some have goals to become a doctor, a teacher, an engineer. And different goals we have. And we study hard and work for those goals, and we labor so much to attain those goals. And if we are working so hard with much labor, without sleep, and working so hard to attain those earthly goals, how much more we need to work hard to attain spiritual goals? Because those earthly goals, we will one day attain, Lord willing. It's not a bad thing to attain. It's a good thing. But those earthly goals are going to vanish one day, because you're going to die. Then, what about the spiritual goals? That is more important than the earthly goals. That's the most important thing, is the spiritual goal. Our goal should be what? To be with our Creator and Redeemer in heaven. That is our goal. Those who are pure in heart shall see God, Jesus said. Philippians chapter 3, Apostle Paul talks about his goal. Philippians 3, verse 13. You can write it down. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, meaning he is doing something, it's a verb that you got to really do. Forgetting what lies behind, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. You see the word straining. Straining means it is hard work to take this pilgrim road. It's not easy when you are working for the Lord. It's straining, difficult. Then he says, I press on towards. That means, you know, you got to keep on pressing. It's going to be very difficult, very tough, but you should not give up hope. You should not, you got to keep on pressing without stopping, and for the what? Keep on pressing towards the goal, for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Wow! What a blessed thing to be in heaven. As we saw the scriptures, He is going to wipe away our tears. No more pain, no more death. But while we are on this earth, we got to keep working hard. All what Christ did, Christ Jesus did the work for our salvation. But yet, we got to take that narrow road. Just because Christ, we believe that Christ Jesus did our work and we can just wait at home and sleep. No way. There got to be fruits of your salvation. So the more we become older, the more we get closer to the grave. Which means the more we come closer to heaven. That means the more we become holy. The more we get conformed to the Lord Jesus Christ. That means the more we get older and older and older, we are coming to our finish line. That is the grave. That means the more we should get thirsty and hungry for the Lord. The pilgrims, they don't look back. They go forward. So we forget all the pleasures of the life on earthly things. Our ultimate goal is to be with our Maker and our Redeemer. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Apostle Paul said, 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, is working for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know, when our loved Christians pass away, many of us see it as a calamity, a great sorrow, a loss. Many of us would weep and be sorrowful as we have lost a loved one or a friend. You know, it is true that Jesus too, when Lazarus was dead, I think John chapter 11 verse 35, it says Jesus wept. So it's natural for us to weep when somebody who is very close to our heart passes away. But I want you to see the spiritual side of this. But on the other hand, look at the loved one who is a Christian, who has accepted the Lord. That loved one just entered into heaven. And he is rejoicing in the presence of God. Angels in heaven are rejoicing with the loved ones. And they are praising God with joyful praises and songs. And that is the most joyful condition that the loved ones who are Christians, when they go to heaven, It's the most joyous thing. So, we should not keep on weeping for the rest of our lives, because they are rejoicing, our loved ones are rejoicing. They are excited. They are in joyful condition. We should be joyful. There is a moment of sorrow, but after that, we need to rejoice. Remember, we need to remember that we too are getting closer to the grave. We remember that. We all are going to die one day. Every single person, we are going to die one day. So we too are getting closer to the grave. So death is not a loss for the Christian, but a profit. The grave is the exit to heaven. So we should not, our hearts, we weep, but it's not broken. It's not a calamity for us. It's rejoice to see them, to be with the Lord. Basically, the unbelievers, they are the ones who would be mourning for the rest of their lives. Now, I want to give a scripture to support what I said, okay? Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Apostle Paul said, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep." That means concerning people who have passed away, who have died. "Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." So Paul is saying, you know, I don't want you to be ignorant, brothers. Those who have fallen asleep or those who have passed away. So, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Who are the others who have no hope? Unbelievers. They are the one who will be, you know, who has sorrow all the time. They are the ones who have no hope. Paul goes on to say, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." So we are different than the unbelievers. So let us earnestly desire the mansion in heaven. The glories of this earth, you know, is going to offer us a mansion. But let us desire a mansion in heaven. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. I'm going away to prepare a mansion for you." Jesus said he is going away to prepare a mansion for you. Just imagine how long Jesus has been there. Yeah, for a long time. Man, the longer he stays in heaven, the better the mansion is going to be, right? He's preparing a mansion for you. But this earth, Satan is always trying to give a mansion for you here. With all the glories of the earth, Satan will tell your mind and tell you, "Look at the glories of this world, how exceedingly beautiful here." And he will show all the pleasures of this world. So you, as a pilgrim now, you want to go side this way, that way. You don't want to take the narrow road. And he will bring all these enjoyments. He will tempt you looking at the amusements and entertainment on the television. And he will give you all the pleasure-seeking times, the joys of this world. What will you do when these temptations come on your way? Jesus was tempted by the devil. And the devil said, "If you worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms of the world." But if Jesus was tempted, what about you and me? Are you going to submit to the devil in your temptations? If you do, well, then you are under you are going to be submitting to the devil, and you are going to be under the influence of the devil. Then the Lord Jesus, we are coming against the very authority of the Word of God, when God said no. And we are coming against the very authority of the Word of God. And sometimes, not believing in God, making God even a liar. Just imagine, God told Adam and Eve not to eat of the fruit, of this fruit. But they submitted to the authority of the devil, they made God a liar, thinking that God's word is not true. And that is not good. So, Satan will bring all these carnal appetites to our flesh. But beloved, tell Satan, just like Jesus did, away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God, and Him only you shall serve. Let us therefore labor in putting to death our carnal desires. When we look to our beloved Lord in heaven, all these worldly glories will fade away compared to the glory of heaven, what God has prepared for us. One day, our pilgrimage is going to come to an end. At the end, we will rest from our pilgrimage. That's going to be a time of resting, because we have entered heaven and we are going to be with our God, and we are going to be rested with Him. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 9 says, Hebrews 4 9, there remained therefore a rest to the people of God. Hebrews 4:9, there remained therefore a rest to the people of God. A rest means here, it's not, you're not going to just sleep when you go to heaven. It's not sleeping in peace. It means we have finished our pilgrimage. We have attained our goal. We don't have to agonize anymore. We don't have to go through the narrow road anymore. There are no more temptations that will come our way. There is no more fear, no more tears, no more pain, no more hardship. It is rest. We are going to be in the bosom of God. No more obstacles. We have finished the race. We have rest with all our labors. We have reaped the harvest. We rest in God through eternity. Revelation chapter 7 verse 16. Let me finish with the scripture. Revelation 7:16 says here, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb is the midst of the throne, will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to the springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Just imagine, God Himself is going to wipe away every tears. Beloved, this is not a temporal rest, but an eternal rest. Do you want to enter into eternal rest in heaven? Then we need to diligently labor to enter to that rest. You know, in heaven, this is going to be another subject and another time. Just like in hell, there are degrees of punishment in hell. A person who has never heard the Lord Jesus Christ, their punishment is going to be less. In a being, their degrees of punishment is going to be less, but it's eternal. But the person who had heard the word of God, who had come to church, who had listened to the word of God, the punishment is going to be more severe. In the same way, there are degrees of rewards when you go to heaven. And if you have been working really hard for the Lord, weeping and praying and, you know, witnessing and reading the Word of God and having your mind focused on God and going through trials and hardships and everything, you're going to be more closer to Jesus when you go to heaven. But if you are a person who just by the thread of a needle, you just came to heaven, man, you're not going to be that close. So there are going to be degrees of rewards. As I said, that's going to be another subject. So as one thing, we need to take this pilgrim road. And it's going to be tough, difficult. There's going to be a lot of hardship. But there are no shortcuts. No shortcuts. Remember in the Pilgrim's Progress, Christian had to go through a lot of difficulties, a lot of trials and tribulations, and he had to go a long way on the pilgrim road. Suddenly he saw a man coming. I think it was like he was jumping over the wall. And he took a shortcut, but he couldn't enter heaven. He was bound, and he was taken out. No shortcuts. The only shortcut is to hell. So brothers and sisters, let us work for the Lord. Let us pray that the Lord will give you a thirst and a hunger for Him and crucify your earthly appetites, and let us run the race to the finish line. So we will receive, God will give you a glory, a reward to you once you go there. And just like Apostle Paul said, I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And that's what every true believer should say at the end. I have finished my pilgrimage race. I have kept the faith. And I'm waiting for the Lord of glory, that He will reward me, that I can be with Him in heaven for eternity. Eternity. And some of us are so much focused on earthly things. We spend so much time on earthly things. We don't have time for the Word of God, this precious, precious Word of God, which is more precious than any gold or silver that can offer. And this precious Word of God will sanctify our souls, cleanse our sins. What can you buy from the store to clean your sins? What can you buy from the world to give you encouragement? Nothing. It's just temporal stuff. And this, you know, we like to look nice outside, comb your hair nice, you know, dress well, and, you know, we go to the mirror and look very nice. But what about your soul? That is more important than what is outside. That's what counts. That's what the pilgrim desires. Where is my soul with the Lord today? Every day when you wake up, and say, by the grace of God, I am here today. And here, another day for my pilgrim journey. And ask the Lord to give you the grace to go another day. So, brothers and sisters, just like Jacob said, I have lived so far, I am 130 years old, but my days are very few. That's what Jacob said to Pharaoh. Very few. So, our life on this earth is just a drop in the bucket, just a shadow, only a dream. Only, you just imagine, when you die, would you wish to say, oh, I wish I could have done more. It's too late. Too late. I wish I could have done more and more and more. It's too late. It's too late. Everything is before the grave, not after the grave. It is finished. It is done. Then comes the judgment and the rewards. You know, I praise God. Apostle Paul was a persecutor, a great sinner. He killed Christians. He stoned Stephen. But what God did for him, I mean, he said he was the chief sinner, a king sinner. What about us? We have sinned against God in our mouth and in our thinking, with our deeds, what we have done. We have sinned against God in a very big way, and we can call ourselves, we are king sinners. But how we need to thank God for sending His beloved Son. If not for Jesus, there's no way we can go to heaven. Absolutely no way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. How we need to thank and adore Jesus Christ as He bled for us. He went through the pain for us. He went through the wrath of God for us. And how we need to love Him and obey Him, that we can go to heaven only through Jesus Christ. He has given us the grace and the mercy. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, what a sweet name is Jesus. You will be singing of Jesus for the rest of your rest through eternity when you go to heaven. Just imagine, I was just thinking, okay? How wonderful it is for us to be in church and hear the word of God and have fellowship. But then you go back home. You got to go to school. You got to go to work. Oh man, how wonderful it is for us to be together. Isn't it? That's going to be in heaven. No more going to school. No more studies. No more work. You are going to rest from your labors. But if that is your intention, your goal, we need to work even harder. Because there are so many temptations that are going to come our ways. And many of us are yielding to Satan. And that is not good. That is not good. We need to yield to the Lord Jesus Christ. Obey Him only. Worship Him only. Do not compromise. Do not compromise. And that's the way. One day when we are going to stop, oh, we can praise God that we have entered heaven. Amen.